So we're starting a new sermon series today entitled, God Made You Special. Actually, it's entitled, Shaped to Make a Difference. Never mind. But that's what I get. Anyway, we're talking about how God shaped you and how important it is that we understand just how special you are in His sight. I'll give you an example of this. A lot of people, when I've talked to them in counseling different things, they hold on to things from the past. Somebody said they were ugly when they were younger, and it kind of defines how they look at themselves even as an adult. And yet somewhere along the line, for many of them, they found this person that would commit their life to them in marriage, and that person would say to them how beautiful they were. They would say to them how beautiful, even in spite of whatever the deals that this former person had gotten stuck up on and called them ugly, they called them beautiful. And they saw them just as they were, but they said, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. I think you're beautiful in my sight. I don't know how many of you have ever looked at the mirror, maybe without a shirt on, and said, I'm beautiful. It's a little different now at 48 than it was when I was 20 to say those words without, you know, a little bit of a check, because there's a lot more of this there that doesn't kind of meet the quota of the magazines that you kind of look at in GQ anymore. And so I think we live in a society today that does kind of say you need to look like this and talk like this and act like this and be like this. And when we don't measure up, even in by ourselves in the bathroom or whatever it might be, we start measuring ourselves up with that list of things. And instead of seeing the amazing creation that God had created, we start feeling less than for different reasons. And yet I shared that first story with you about this person that finally found that person that saw them as beautiful. And the reason that mattered to us at that moment is because their opinion was the most important thing in the world to us. And because they thought we were beautiful, we could let go of some of those hurtful things from the past. When the creator of matter says that you matter, that should make a difference for us too. If he's truly the number one thing in our life, if his opinion of us is truly the most important, if he is the one that we want to serve and adore and praise and worship and all those things, when he says that we matter, that should trump all everything else. And that's kind of the backdrop for this idea of God made us special and then God made us on purpose and all those different things, because in Genesis 2, he just kind of begins this conversation by saying this. God shaped man from the soil of the ground, and he blew the breath of life into his nostrils, and man became a living being. And this word shape that you hear used here is really used all the way through the Bible, and it's just God saying this to us, that he custom shaped you and that there's nobody else in the entire history of mankind that's going to be like you. Jeremiah writes, you made my whole being. You formed me in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You saw my bones being formed as I took shape in my mother's body. And when I was put together, you saw my body as it was formed. All the days planned for me were written in your book of life before I was a day old. You know, you mentioned the ultrasound. You can kind of get a picture of this. God working together, this little baby inside mom. And not just the limbs and the eyes and all the kind of things that make up this little baby that works when it comes out. You're like, oh my gosh, how does it work? And it's already crying and all those things. But even the inner parts, the heart and the emotion and the personality and all those kind of things. Notice again, the Bible says, you made me, you formed me in my mother's womb. You saw my bones being formed. In other words, inside your mother's womb, as I took shape, you shaped me where I was put together. All the days were planned for me. He's just saying over and over here, God planned you. Every day of your life, he planned in advance before I was a day old. Again, God made me. He formed me. He saw me. He shaped me. He put me together. God planned every day of my life before I was born. All that to say is that you are special in his sight and that he does not make junk. Now, I just want to get away from all the politics on this, but these verses, especially the verses that were read in the Psalm and the ones that I just read here again today, more than anything else, is why abortion is wrong. Can you hear that? Abortion short circuits a human being that God had planned from creation. The Bible says, I formed you, I thought you up before you were even created or conceived. God obviously believes that a fertilized egg is a real human being and has already planned every day of its life in advance. It's not just a sperm and an egg together, it's a human being that God created. And I think that's important for us to understand amidst all the political rhetoric. Sometimes I think, you know, politics is like rooting for your favorite sports team, right? And no matter how dysfunctional your team, you're like, I just want to win, baby, you know? And And I think politics has kind of degenerated in that, and we've stopped actually thinking about issues or aligning ourselves with truth, but we just align ourselves with our sports team. And so whenever we talk about these kind of things, I need you to know what God views and thinks about the issue. God believes that life is precious. He created you on purpose at that very moment. You've heard me say many times this too, that there are accidental parents, but there are no accidental babies. There are illegitimate parents, but there are no illegitimate children. Your parents may not have planned you, but you know what? God did. And so it doesn't really matter whether your parents were good or bad or indifferent. What does matter is that God chose them to be your parents. And you start asking, well, why in the world would he do that? They were mean. Because God knew that they had exactly the right DNA to create you. And God was more interested in creating you than he was their parenting skills at that moment. In fact, what parent amongst us had it down the first day your first child came out of the womb? You were like, they're going to let us take it home? What are they thinking? You know, we figured it out as we were going along, and we made it look good to the kids, but we were trying to figure out things. Hopefully we had great models in our parents that helped us along the way. But good, bad, or indifferent, God chose your parents because God was more interested in making you. And so he used them to create you using their DNA the way he wanted to create you. So all that just to say this, you are not an accident. In fact, it points to the truth in this next verse. He says, your hands formed and shaped me. He's just saying that God was intricately and intimately involved in creating you right from the very beginning. And sometimes, especially in those cases where our upbringings weren't that good, or the situations of our mom and dads wasn't that good, it just highlights this promise that God gives us that he still works all things for the good of those who love him. And in the midst of that horribleness, you're the good. You're the one he created from the very beginning. You were the one he made on purpose. So you start asking, well, what does that mean? And it just means this, that you're not an accident. It means that God chose every detail of your life, even the stuff you don't like, even the stuff that you consider weakness, and he chose it for you. And after God made you, he broke the mold. There's nobody that's ever going to be like you again in the history of mankind. When he made Adam, he broke the mold. When he made Eve, he broke the mold. Adam said to Eve, honey, you're the only woman in the world for me. And he was right, right? Nobody will ever be exactly like you. There will never be anybody with your thumbprint or your footprint or your voice print or your eye print ever again. You're never going to find anybody with the exact combination of personality or the exact combination of experiences that God has allowed you to go through to make you you. Ultimately, you are unique and you are special. And so you start asking, why did God go through all the trouble? That seems like a lot of trouble to go through. Why didn't he just put us on a conveyor belt? It's because he wanted you to be you. If he wanted you to be somebody else, he would have made somebody else, but he didn't. He made you. The problem is, I think, is I kind of alluded to this at the very beginning. So often people don't really like the way they are. Think of looking in the mirror, you know, without the shirt and seeing all the imperfection. I found that most people really don't accept themselves. They're always going, I wish I were taller, I wish I were smaller, I wish I were thinner, I wish I had red hair, brown hair, black hair, I didn't like my nose, I didn't like my teeth, I wish I had more talent, I wish I could be more like him or like her. They don't really accept themselves. It seems like we're always comparing or competing rather than just accepting who God has made us to be. But when we do that, when we compare consistently, when we contrast incessantly, it causes real problems from our life and real insecurity. Another thing we do, I think, is we try to be like other people. Maybe not on purpose, but the pressure's there and we feel it. We say we've got to wear the shoes like her, I've got to dress like him, or I've got to make as much money as he did. I think, well, that was just silly until my buddy just called me and he said he got into that Bitcoin right at the very beginning. And so he was saying he's got several $100,000 of Bitcoin. And I was like, that's great, buddy. I did not compare at all at that moment. I was just thinking, back to our conversations, how dumb I thought he was that he was doing all that. But anyway, I've got to do what they did or she did. I've got to please my parents. It's amazing the kind of pressures that are, especially in sibling rivalry, especially with friends, especially as you compare yourself to other people in your class at high school. It's the reason so many people don't like going back to your neighbors and on and on. Most people start off as originals, but it seems like over time we tend to be carbon copies. So let me be real honest with you. If you don't be you, then we don't need you here on this earth. We've already got that role taken. But if you're here, it means that God says that you have something to contribute that nobody else can. Only you can be you, and God made you to be you, and he shaped you, and he designed you from the very beginning. So you start asking, maybe why is all this important? I mean, that's cool stuff to know, but why is it important? It's because the way you're designed by God influences every area of your life. For instance, the way you are shaped determines the classes you should focus on in school, and necessarily the classes you probably shouldn't focus on in school. Additionally, your shape determines what kind of friends you should have, and your shape determines what kind of person you should marry. Your shape determines the temptations you are most likely to be tempted by, and thus the ones that you should be prepared for. The reality is that there's some things that tempt me that just wouldn't tempt you, and there's some things that tempt you that just wouldn't tempt me. Why? Because we're just shaped differently. Your shape determines why certain areas in your life frustrate you more than they do your spouse or your friends or your siblings. Your shape determines the best career pick. Your shape determines the best work environment for you, the best ministry for you. Your shape determines where you are bound to fail in life and where you are bound to succeed. In the weeks ahead, we're going to take a look at a lot of this stuff because I think it matters. The other reason it's so important is because understanding your shape allows you to know and then understand fully all that God actually wants you to be. When you know what you're made by God to do, it reduces your stress, increases your self-esteem, and it also increases your satisfaction in life. And as a result, it increases your odds of success. When you're working the area of your shape, then you're going to say, you know what, this is me. I get this is fun. This is what I was meant to do. It's fulfilling and it's fruitful. In other words, you succeed at it and you're satisfied by it. And thus discovering your shape allows you to finally be in life the person that God made you to be in the first place. But what does this word shape mean? This series actually came as a result of, we went to a study, I think a year and a half ago, on this spiritual gifts and who God made you to be. And some of the people in that study said, hey, could we do a sermon series on it? And so this is actually Rick Warren's acrostic shape, but it's really your design. You are designed by God to make a difference in this world. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10 that when God looks at you and I, he says that we're masterpieces. I think that's funny because when I'm standing in front of that mirror, I don't necessarily feel like a masterpiece at that moment. But God says I'm a masterpiece. Like that person that we're engaged to that just says we're beautiful despite everything. It would matter. I'll give you another example. If my wife at that moment when I'm looking at myself in the mirror came in and says, you're beautiful. Even in the midst of all that, you're beautiful. And that would mean something. That would be valuable something. Because I think somehow, some way, God has worked her brain where she thinks this is beautiful. That's amazing to me. And it's important to me. We were made to make a difference for God, though. A kingdom difference. So how to figure out your difference, right, that you were designed to make, starts with your design. Starts with figuring out who it is that this God of ours made us to be in the first place. Because as you break down this word and you look at the combination of spiritual gifts in with and under your heart and your passions and the interest that God gave you, I mean, these are the five things that make you you. These are the things that God gave you to be used by you for his glory. And so if you're interested in golf or sports or hunting or sewing or music or a million other things, where do you think you got that interest? You got it from God. God wired it into your system. If he wanted us all to be the same, he would have given us all the same interest. But if that were the case, there'd be a lot less getting done in this world. So God gives you these five things to make you unique and special. Nobody's going to be like you. And if you don't be you, there's actually and literally going to be a hole missing in history. So maybe again, you're still sitting there and saying, well, why should I care? There's a lot of reasons, actually. Your success or failure in life is one. Your satisfaction or dissatisfaction in life is another. There's a lot of things really in this life that depend on it. But today I want to give you the main reason why you should care about your shape. And it's because your shape reveals God's purpose for you. The way you find out what God wants you to do with your life is you discover how you are shaped. And the better you understand, the more clear it becomes what God wants you to do with your life. In other words, if I figure out how God has wired me, that will give me a pretty good clue on what he wants me to do. because God will not give me a gift and a heart and an ability and a personality and an experience and a passion in one area and then say, hey, I want you to do this thing over here. You won't be very good at it. It'll be really hard, but I want you to do that. He won't do that. He's given you the gift so that you can use it to his glory. And Jeremiah says, a spokesman for the nation, that's what I had in mind for you. He knew from the very beginning what he wanted Jeremiah to be. He has a purpose and a plan for your life from the very beginning. And that just means that God has something in mind for you today. And the first thing he wants you to do is to get to know him. To truly know him. I like the imagery from the last series. If that didn't come through, I really like it. And that's this whole idea of coming home to Jesus. And during the holidays, that coming home is special, right? Coming home to a God who loves you and cares for you. A God who is on your side with his sole purpose of getting you to heaven. A God that looks at you as his own children and cares for you and has intricately designed you for a reason, for a purpose in this life. To know him as the one who loved you from the very beginning till now. As the one who created you unique and special. As the one who loved you enough to send Jesus, his only son, to save you. You know, as you go through this whole idea of the way that God created us and how intricately he was involved and that he actually has purpose, it's more than just a father looking at a child. It's a father looking at a child that he had some purposeful, practical way of imparting to his kids, right? I have a purpose for you, my son. I have created you this in this amazing way, my daughter. And then you get to understand how much, or maybe why, God loves us so much. If he spent all that time working on us and creating us in this way, it gives you a sense of why we matter so much to him, that he'd be willing to give up his own son, Jesus, to save us, so that we can spend eternity with him in heaven. That's his heart's desire. But it's this sin thing that complicates, it's this unbelief thing that complicates and threatens to destroy that very end. So he sent us Jesus. But here's the thing with all that. God won't ever force you to do his plan. And so you can waste your life, you can blow your life, you can use your life on all kinds of personal, self-centered things and totally miss God's plan and purpose for your life. In fact, I guess the reality today is probably most people do. And I would suggest that that's why they're so frustrated and why they're so lonely and why they worry and why they're so depressed. It's because they're trying to do their own thing, trying to be somebody they're not, trying to do things they weren't wired to do, trying to figure out life by themselves, totally removed from God's purpose, from his plan, from his love, from his care, rather than to do what God wants them to do. Rather than to be who God made them and created them to be. So my prayer today is, as we kick off the series, is simply this, is that we would come home to God, who created us to be special in his sight, who created us to be loved by him, to come home to a God who will do anything for us so that we can be with him in heaven. So come home today. And all God's people said, amen. Let us pray. But as we pray through these things, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for loving us the way you do. And not just loving us as some blob that just kind of happened, but loving us as a masterpiece of your creative hand. That when you made us for an amazing purpose. That you made us beautiful in your sight. And that because you made us, we matter. And we have value, and we have beauty, and we're important to you. Father, you exemplified that never more than when you sent Jesus, so that we could be with you forever, so that there'd be a way for you to forgive our sin, so that you could show us again how much you love us. Let these realities wash over us this morning. And may we find a God esteem as we walk through life that's totally independent from this world. And all God's people said, amen.